This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for February 18th, episode 1107. Good morning, Horse World.
Morning. Today is Wednesday.
Hey, everyone. Happy Hump Day.
Happy Hump Day, baby. Here's to another week. Halfway done. The downhill stretch has finally begun.
Daddy, I want another pony.
What do they call Wednesday hump day anyhow? Innocuous jibber jabber.
All right, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. Jamie, I put Daddy, I want another pony in there just for you. It was just for you this week. And you have baby Lucas. Your husband has left town. Your mother's coming in, and your husband has left.
Yeah, it was strategically planned on his part, I think. Hey, your mom's coming? Good, I'm going to go on a ski trip with the guys. But you know what? During this week of him being gone, I'm driving up to northern Nevada and getting a Mustang. So I'm like, go have fun, get drunk, eat some meat, go party.
So, I bet you that's what he's looking forward to most. Is not the alcohol on this trip. See, normally that would be what he would look forward to. It's being able to eat meat for an entire week without the guilt.
I know. Well, he's the one who decided to go vegan for February. So I think this has been the longest 18 days of his life. And I said, so pretty sure you're not going to stay vegan during the trip, right? And he was like, oh, hell no. Like, I think he's going to go to one of those places where you put the green button on and then you get the meat just coming, you know?
I see the Brazilian restaurant where they come around with them on skewers and carve them. I see that in the future. Yeah.
God love him. He tried.
Five nights of that.
He's like, you know, so I don't even miss... He said he doesn't miss meat that much, but he's like, I really miss cheese. Like, I know, I do too.
Well, I got to tell you, wow. Well, first, good to have you back. And we had a lot of fun on Monday with listeners calling in about their weather. And I got to tell you, I was looking at Lexington's weather. You know, all three of us have lived in Lexington at one time or another. We lived there for almost 4 years, and you lived there also. And they had a foot of snow, which, you know, the people in Massachusetts are laughing at and going, what's the big deal? Well, in Kentucky, that is a big deal because they got like one snowplow and no salt. So, I mean, it really is a big deal. And then I looked at their temperatures, and I was looking at the temperatures from around the country over the next couple of days, and it looks like Kentucky is also getting the worst of that. It is supposed to be, get this, and it never happened this way when we lived there, minus 12 tonight, and tomorrow night is minus 17. Real temperature minus 17 in Lexington, Kentucky.
Gosh, that's terrible. You know, it's funny where, you know, when you have friends on Facebook, you kind of follow the way that they're living. And Karen from Kentucky Performance Products is like showing pictures outside her window. It's like a 7-foot drift. You know, like that is insane. That is insane. And my friends in Georgia, one of them posted this morning, he was like, well, we were on our way to school and then they canceled it. And there was 4 flurries. Like, it just, you know, it just shows you that regionally, people have different ideas of what cripples the city, you know, but like half an inch cripples Atlanta and that much snow cripples Kentucky. But those people up north, man, they're tough and hardy.
I saw the mayor of Boston yesterday had a press conference, and, you know, they're having serious troubles. They've had over 100 inches of snow in the last month.
Ugh.
And the trains, which people rely on in Boston, you know, you've been up there, they live on mass transit up there. are just not running, or they're erratic, and they're actually hiring people at $30 an hour. Anybody has a snow shovel and can come out to shovel the tracks, that's what they're doing. They're hiring people to come out and just shovel the tracks because there's so much snow the snow movers can't get through it. So that's what they're doing to try and get the trains running. Apparently people stood hours waiting for a train, and then the train would go by and not stop, and they just have to walk home and never make it to work. But the mayor came out yesterday and said, it's a serious problem in this city that the imbeciles are jumping out of second-story windows into snow piles. You need to stop doing that. It's dangerous. And he went, what is wrong with that? As a kid, we used to do that all the time. We get the big snows. We used to run through the house, climb out the second-story window, onto the porch roof, jump off the porch roof into the drift, and go back up and do it again. We must have made that trip 100 times, me and my brothers.
Yeah, but you got to think, Glenn, like you did that in a rural location. In Boston, these people are diving out of second-story windows and landing on parking meters. You know what I mean? How stupid.
That is true.
The stuff that was there before the snow is still there.
Yeah, exactly. Doink, you hit the metal parking meter, you know. But you know what? I'm sorry, Darwinism at its best right there.
Yes.
Did you see the guy in Boston? This went around Facebook yesterday, too. He had one of the big problems they have in cities up there right now is you shovel out your parking space, which literally takes you forever because the drifts are 10 feet tall over your car. And you do all that work, you shovel out your parking space, and then some jerk takes it, you know, when you're at work. And you come home, and they put things down. They put, like, garbage cans and stuff to save it. Well, this jerk took his parking space, and he wasn't having none of that. He went and got his shovel, and he buried the guy's car in snow. He just covered it back up. So that was viral, I guess.
When I lived in Ohio, I lived in a place that was Chagrin Falls, which is east of Cleveland. They get a lot of lake effect snow. And there was a guy that I knew that literally all he did for his job was shovel snow in the winter and, like, didn't work the rest of the year. He had one of those things on the front of his car, and he would push the snow, and that was it. So he worked, like, 3 months a year and was able to live very well. Like, that is a lot of – that's when you get a lot of snow. That would suck.
Jennifer's dad used to do that. He used to drive plow. Jennifer did it for a while, too. They had a pickup truck with a plow on the front.
I loved it when it snowed. That was good money.
Oh, wow. Jennifer loved doing it.
Yeah.
She used to go, like, 80 miles an hour in the parking lot to ram in that snow. She used to have so much fun doing it. Jennifer, what are we doing on today's show?
On today's Crappy List Wednesday edition, we will cover a herd of headlines of varying degrees of relevance, and in the at least one hand-picked snarky list. And then in the third half of the show, we're going to have Horse & Country TV's European Report, who will set the jump bar just a few holes higher. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Well, my daily winnie goes to Chester Weber, my neighbor down here in Florida. He is still ranked FEI number one in the world in driving. And I think that was the first time that Americans ever been ranked number one in the world in driving. And I thought about it because we had him on last night. We did an interview with him for the driving radio show. So you'll hear that. We'll come out later today talking about his terrific year last year. Meeting the Queen and winning at Windsor and winning in Aachen and just really taking the driving world by storm over there. And some of his students are doing very well also. And, of course, Live Oak International is coming up, which is the largest driving event in the country, the end of March, at Chester Weber's farm, which is 1,400 acres at Live Oak, about 5 miles from our house here. So we'll be attending that again this year. And we have some listeners staying with us, so that'll be fun, that are coming down for the driving event. And Wendy is going to be camping out on the couch. It's going to be a boarding house for Live Oak this year. So congratulations to Chester Weber, still hanging on to his number one spot in the world for driving.
Well, I guess I should update you guys. My daily Gwinnie goes to my dear husband, who was so supportive on Sunday. On Sunday, I woke up in the morning, and I had, like, what I felt was like heartburn and progress. And I had an appointment to ride with a student, and you know, I went out there and rode, and my like chest was really hurting. But I took some Alka-Seltzer and was waiting on it to get better. It didn't get better, and throughout the day, I had more and more and more chest pain, to the point where it was hurting to breathe, and feeling my heart beating in my chest actually hurt. So, you know, I called my sister-in-law, who's a doctor in California, and she's like, okay, chest pain, you need to go. And here I am like, oh, I'm all healthy. I'm a vegan. Like, what up? Like, I can't have heart problems. So I go to the urgent care, and they do chest x-rays and EKGs and all this stuff, and they're like, you need to go to the hospital, because they thought maybe I had a blood clot in my lungs. I mean, gosh, they were scaring me to death. So I get rushed to the emergency room, which, by the way, I got sent to the closest one, which we'll discuss in just a second. But I got EKGs, more chest x-rays, more radiation than one person needs in a day. I got a CT scan. You know, they put you in the tube and they scan my chest and they couldn't find anything. Then the guy's like, have you exerted yourself in the past couple of days?
No, I don't do that.
Well, let's say that I did get a load of hay on Saturday and helped unload 120-pound bales, and because they found something, I guess, and I tore cartilage underneath my sternum. And let me tell you that there's nothing that makes you feel older than having chest pain because you unloaded hay. What that is what they're telling me I have.
I
was like, he was like, you're moving hay. I was like, well, those 120-pound bales, we're not going to move themselves. You know, you have to do what you got to do. So forever
Which
now.
Which is about 20 pounds more heavier than you are. So
they're pretty heavy. So I now have the kitchen pass. I never have to unload hay ever again. Woo-hoo! My poor husband. So
did they give you good pain pills?
Well, you know, they tried to. I really don't do well on the pain pills, so they gave me the very, like, lowest grade tramadol. My dog used to take that, and I thought, well, that's okay. Let me tell you, tramadol and a glass of wine, Chad was like, you were talking, and I couldn't understand you, and da-da-da. I was trying to relax. So I was at the hospital, the ER, for, like, 5 hours. This place was so busy, Glenn, that they didn't have enough rooms for everybody. So they rushed me in because chest pain, you get to the front of the line. If you ever hurt your toe, tell them you have chest pain and you'll get right on
true.
Back in there.
That is true. I've done that a few times.
Yeah. So they put me, they didn't have a room. So I'm laying on a bed in the freaking hallway. And there is such crazy stuff. God bless our doctors and nurses for dealing with what they have to deal with. At one point, a woman in a robe, naked, robe flapping, goes running through the little ER area, and she stops basically kind of right next to me, because again, I'm in the middle of the hallway, and police like swarm with their nightsticks drawn. They're like, we're going to take you back to your bed. She had escaped her shackles that were holding her to the bed. She was a psych ward patient, okay? Crazy. They're like, swarm. They grab her. They take her away. Right about then, the guy behind me throws up blood all over the floor of the hallway. I'm like, oh, my God. I feel like I'm in an episode of ER. And then at some point, I look at Chad. He's standing there hanging out with Luke. He's laying on the bed with me. And Chad is like, it's almost green. I'm like, what is wrong? It's behind me. And I'm kind of laying one direction. He's looking behind me. And he's like, they're changing an adult diaper behind you. Don't look. Like, oh, my God, this is so gross. There's no privacy. But, you know, these doctors and nurses, if you know one that works in an ER, give them a hug today, because, my God, they need it. That is a hell job.
Is that about the time you started texting me? Was it when you were in the hallway? I think it was about that time I started getting texts from you saying you were in the hospital. And the first thing, and you said you were having chest pain. Remember, the first thing I said is it had to be that diet of yours. It had to be that vegan diet.
I thought it was. I took Alka-Seltzer. It just didn't help. Didn't help torn cartilage. But I got to tell you that I took the pain meds, and up until yesterday afternoon, I just started feeling much better. So I am, you know, the whole time I'm like, no, I have to be okay because I have to go get the Mustang. That's how horse girls think. Like, I'm like, I screw the chest pain. Am I going to be able to drive? I don't want to cancel my trip. So I'm much better now. Thank you very much. And thank you for your support. And thanks to all the listeners for calling in and helping you out with the show the other day on Monday. I really appreciate it. And I didn't get home till like 2 in the morning. So it was nice not to have to get up at 5.
Well, now, are you still heading to the Mustang auction at the end of the week?
Yes, my mom gets in today, and then tomorrow afternoon we're going to drive up to Las Vegas, stay with a friend of mine, and then Friday morning we're going to drive the rest of the way, which is going to be another like 7.5 hours. So it's about 4.5 hours to Vegas and then about 7.5 hours to Carson City. Stay in a hotel,
wow.
And then, yeah, it's a long drive. But like I told Chad, I'm never going to live closer to Carson City. And I've always been interested in these guys. Yeah, I mean, whenever. I'm never going to move there.
Well, now, how's it work? Can you see them the day before, or do you just see them right before the auction? How's that work?
They just like to make it as stressful as possible, Glenn. You show up at 9 a.m. The inmates, they call them trainers, ride out on these horses. You can talk to them and ask them questions and all that. And then at 10 o'clock, they start the auction.
So you get an hour, and then it's auction time, huh?
And then it's auction time. And you just go. They do like, from what I understand from people that have gone in the past, they do like a little quadrille and they ride them around a little bit before the auction starts. But I'm nervous already. And you know, the thing is, like, what if the horse I like the best goes last in the auction and I've let all these other horses go and then I get outbid on the last one? It's so stressful but exciting at the same time. I've actually bought a horse at an auction, Glenn, and I get so competitive and I get so nervous that I'm pretty sure I've...
No,
I know,
not you.
I know. And you put a horse in the mix, I'm pretty sure I've bid against myself several times. Like, we're 1,100. I raised my hand. They're like, 1,200. I'm like, me. 1,300. Yeah, that's me. I'll do that. So I need help.
Now, do you have a limit? Do you say it, you know, that you're not going over? We don't have to say what it is because we don't want your competition to hear it. But you should have a limit. Let's put it that way.
Let's just say that I have a husband-imposed limit.
Well, that's even better. I think that's even better. That's a good thing. Yeah, that's a good thing.
Although he did tell me, he was like, you're getting this one. This is your money. I'm not helping you with this. It's all you.
Is the husband-imposed limit the number of horses or the number of dollars?
You know what?
Because if you can get
just
two
dollars
for the number of dollars, right?
Oh my
right,
gosh.
Yeah.
Genius. And it's always easier to have an even number of horses, you know? I mean, I'm going to add the seventh, which we know is a lot of work. I might as well have an eighth. Build a new stall.
No, or either that or just borrow the neighbor's property again. That's what everybody else does.
Exactly. Well, it's really cool. Hey. I've actually got Chad, like, help me build a little corral off of the stall. So I've got to, you know, because they recommend you keep a smaller place for them at first till they kind of get to know you. And, you know, I was talking to the officer. I called and had a million questions. He was very sweet and patient with me. And he's like, you've got a long drive. What are you planning on doing? And I said, well, we're going to, you know, plan on stopping at a horse hotel for the night on Saturday night. And he was like, let me tell you something. Oh, you should not take him out of the trailer till you get home. I was like, what do you mean? He's like,
because you're not going to get him back in.
Exactly. He's like, you have to understand that his experience in trailer loading, while we have worked with him, has mainly been chase him up the chute and load him in the trailers. So he's like, you just might not want to take him out till you get home. So I bought a bale of straw. I'm going to bed down the trailer, and he's going to have a nice, comfortable living area.
Either that or a lot of 5-hour energy drinks. One or the other.
For me.
Hey, I got to tell you, I did take a look. I finally got a chance to take, doing all the shows here this week, I got a chance to take a look at the Mustang auction page and pick out my favorites. Do you want to hear what my favorites are? Now, I know that a lot of the listeners have been helping you out, right? And Elisa Wallace.
Yes, I've been talking to Elisa. She actually texted me on Sunday night. What happened? What'd you do? I'm like, next weekend, girl. Calm down. Next weekend. She's so excited for me. But yeah, all the listeners have come up with great suggestions. And you know what? Having them tell me different horses has made me look at those horses a little closer. So thanks to all of you. I used to have one favorite. Now I have five.
Well,
so
I'm gonna add to the list, and I think my one pick is already on your list. So I was looking through there, and I'm not picking this just because of Big Bang Theory, but Sheldon is a cutie, and I know he's already on your list. But I'm afeard that Sheldon's going to end up going for like $8,000. You know, he just is a looker. You know, he really is a looker. He's the black
Sheldon,
one. That,
yeah. Of course, yeah. The black one, he looks like a little mini Andalusian Frisian horse.
Yeah,
he
does.
Yeah, his forelock is like down to his nose. He's gorgeous. And you're right. I think they said that he's going to go second. So if I lose the bid on him, I have some others in mind.
Okay, well, Jennifer, if you could post a link again, maybe our listeners could that haven't taken a look could chipe in which ones they think on Horses in the Morning Facebook page.
Also,
I have a
just to let you know, hold on, there is videos. They have posted videos. They're from a while ago when the horses were still pretty green, and you can see kind of some of the riding is a little bit, you know, they're inmates. So you got to kind of take that out of perspective. But if you go to YouTube and you Google and put in BLM Nevada or NNCC for Northern Nevada Correctional Center, you can see YouTube videos of, they don't have all of them, but about 10 of these.
Maybe Jennifer can find that too and post a link to that. Well, I have a second pick. And now I'm not sure this one would be great for dressage and eventing, but Gizmo is my second pick.
Oh, God.
Pick. Who is the little donkey? The little donkey is so cute. He's so
my God,
cute.
He's adorable. He is
adorable. But, you know, I don't know that dressage judges will like that so much, and probably he wouldn't be able to jump over baby novice. That'd be about your limit. So
yeah.
maybe not good. He's not a real practical option, but he is
not
cute.
Not the most practical.
My second option, just because he's so damn cute, is Gypsy. Now, I don't know if a lot of people have recommended Gypsy, but I think Gypsy's adorable. I don't know.
Gypsy is cute. Yeah. You know what? One of my criteria is to get one 15 hands or over. So Gypsy's
oh,
on the, a little
14,
on the small side.
Is he? Yeah.
Yeah, he's 14-1.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, Theodore Teddy was 14-2.
Nah,
Theodore
O'Connor, O'Connor
was only 14-2 and went to Rolex. I'm just saying.
And he wasn't a Mustang. He was a professional bloodline jumping horse.
Oh, that thing. Yeah, so, well, good. Well, I wish you the best of luck, and we're all going to be super excited to hear the result. I have fears about Sheldon going really high. You know, I've told this story before, but we bought several horses at auction. My favorite driving horse of all time was bought at New Holland Sale for $90. I've bought several horses at auctions.
Glenn,
okay,
the auction king.
Yeah, so I'm like you. I'm also competitive at auctions. So we went to get my I wanted another Percheron. So we went to the Percheron auction in Harrisburg, which happens every year, about this time, actually. It's probably going on right now in February. It happens at the Farm Show Arena in Harrisburg. They have hundreds of draft horses come in. I mean hundreds. The auction takes all day. So we go in, and we had friends come along that I was working, one of my coworkers at the time in the investment business who doesn't know horses and doesn't care. And he and his wife came along just to be supportive and have a little fun. Well, we had picked out this Percheron. We picked out two Percherons, and the one I really liked, I thought, well, we'll see how that one goes, and if I don't get that one, then I'll go for this other one. Well, I'll be damned if the one I really liked went for way too much money, of course. So then it was about 18 and a half hands, had already grown and already trained. So then we wanted to wait for the other one. This auction, Jamie, started at 8 o'clock in the morning. And at 5 p.m., the second to last horse that went was the one I bought.
No!
And our
stress.
Friends sat there the entire day with us through hundreds of horses. The entire day they sat there with us. And then bought the second to last one. And then we couldn't load them in the trailer, and some Amishman had to help us. So
are you still friends with that person?
Yes, we are, actually. But it was funny because and then I said, you guys can leave, just go. And they were like, we want to see you buy a horse. Waited all this time.
I think he was going to clock you if you didn't buy a horse, Glenn. I know.
If I hadn't bought a horse, I was going to be in trouble.
Yeah.
So we got the untrained 18-month-old that was about 17 and a half hands and ended up rounding out to about 18 and a half hands. Jennifer ended up training that horse. Very easy to train. You had that horse jumping in, less than 30 days. You had it trained to ride and jump in less than 30 days. They're quick learners. They really are.
That's awesome.
It was fun. Hey, speaking of horses, I got to tell you, we didn't get a chance to talk about this on Monday. There was a series that was recently on TV on the History Channel called Sons of Liberty. And you know how we like to review the horses that are in TV shows and movies? Well, Sons of Liberty kind of cracked us up. It was a three-part miniseries, 6 hours, and it was about the starting of the country and, you know, all the things that happened in Boston and the Tea Party and all of that. So it was all of that up till the war started. And they had all of these scenes in Boston, you know, quote-unquote in Boston, and they, of course, back then, you know, no cars, so everything was pulled by two Frisians. In the entire move, in the entire 6 hours of filming, every scene that was in the town, every cart, wagon, or whatever was pulled by the same two Frisians. Now, do you think Frisians were really popular back then in the United States?
No, they weren't even in the U.S. back then.
I think probably some scraggly Spanish horses would have been more like it, right? So anyway, they were pulled by these two Frisians. And then there was these other two brown horses that would pop in occasionally. I don't know what they were. They would pop in occasionally. Now, in the battle scenes, they borrowed some of the reenactors who actually had real horses, you know, that were probably looked more realistic, and that was better. But every city scene, and we counted, it was like 25 times you saw these pair of horses pulling a wagon or something.
Same pair.
Going by.
They only had
same
one pair of horses in all of Boston.
Yes.
Oh, no.
It was funny. They had a budget for two horses. But and what was funny, too, is they were decked out. They were all clean. They were all brushed. It's like, I doubt that's the way they look.
No, and I thought you were excited about that show. So obviously it's did they whinny all the time?
You know, there weren't a lot of fake whinnies except in the battle scenes. Then there were a couple fake whinnies. But in the city scenes, there weren't a lot of fake whinnies. So maybe they could, you know, they had to rent these two Frisians, so maybe they couldn't afford the soundtrack. I don't know. But
they blew the budget on fancy horses.
Yeah, that's right. Rent of freedom.
Don't you think that at one point somebody would have been like, hey, so Frisians not really of the time. It's crazy.
Well, it was actually, you know, it wasn't too bad. The acting was pretty good, and it wasn't too bad. You know, I wouldn't consider it a waste of 6 hours, but it wasn't too bad. We did learn a couple things along the way that I don't know if true or not. But, you know, it's History Channel. It has to be true, right? Just like the Frisians. The whole thing has to be true.
Obviously. That's too funny.
Let's do this. We got some news to get to, but let's hear from our sponsor. This half hour is by Mita. Of course, they're the dewormers that we all use here at the Horse Radio Network. Let's take a listen to this. We're going to come back with some news for you.
We all know the importance of deworming our horses, and Dr. Ellefson of Bimeda Equine is helping us make sure we are doing it right. Listen for his four-part series the first week of every month on this very show. I just wanted to remind everyone, if you are due for deworming, why not save a few bucks on the popular Bimeda line of wormers, including Equimax, Bimectin, Exodus, Exodus Multidose, and Equil. You can find coupons and special offers at buymediaequine.com, including a variety of rebate offers from cash to free ivermectin. You can also get up to $2 a dose back for Equimax. And while you're at buymediaequine, get your free horse health record keeper, and you can just download it there. Plus, learn a bunch about parasites and deworming at buymedia, that's buymediaequine.com. We at the Horse Radio Network all use Bimeda dewormers because we want the best for our horses, and we know you want the best for yours, too.
buymeetaequine.com and tell them the Horse Radio Network sent you. Now, we're going to start out here. I wanted to give everybody an update. Remember the fire that they had at the stables and carriage house in Chicago? I remember they're trying to put the carriage business out of business in Chicago, just like they're trying to in New York. Well, the Noble yep. Horse Theater, which is where they keep the carriages and the horses there at the stables, had a big fire, destroyed all the carriages. 12 $10,000 carriages were destroyed from both of the vendors that do the carriage rides in Chicago, and they have officially now ruled it an arson, and the FBI has taken over the investigation. So they are now officially, the fire marshal is calling in an arson, and they've taken over. And, of course, the graffiti that was on the wall saying, you know, free the horses probably helped them in their suspicion. We kind of thought that the same day, but they also found some other graffiti in places in the building that you wouldn't be able to get to, like on the roof. In the same handwriting that was on the lower levels. So it's kind of clear it was arson, and the FBI is investigating that right now. They do a fundraiser going on for the carriage companies who did not have insurance on the carriages. So they're trying to rebuild and start over. But that's the update on the Chicago fire.
Well, I have a story for you, kind of in the same vein as, you know, service animals. I think this is in England. I couldn't really find where it was, but I thought that the story was so funny. How our world is so surrounded and infused with social media. There is a story that came across my newsfeed that says that the title is, Police Horse Called Brian May Keep His Name After Public Say Nay to Change. So apparently, the police force in Thames Valley, so I guess it's in England somewhere, typically gives its horses warlike names. So they got this six-year-old Frisian Shire Cross, and he came with the name Brian. Well, apparently Brian is not warlike enough for them, so they were going to change his name to Odin, Thor, or Hercules. Well, the police force went on Facebook and asked for opinions on naming this new police horse. He's in training right now. My God, people went crazy. Responses were overwhelmingly in favor of Brian staying Brian. And hundreds of people named Brian went on there and was like, what's wrong with my name? Brian's a great name. Should leave him Brian. Brian's a perfect name. Keep his name as Brian. My horse is Henry. Does that outrage all people named Henry? As mother of Brian, I am the owner of several horses. I'm outraged. Brian Bolick wrote, Brian's are awesome. And apparently, Brian, the horse, hasn't even made it into the mounted unit yet. So they say they don't even really call him by name, really, when they're out working. It's just now people are freaking out about this. A hashtag started up about Keep It Brian. Like went viral on Twitter and Facebook, all for keeping a stinking horse's name Brian. They will never ask what they should rename their horses ever again on Facebook. I'm sure they've learned their lesson. The things people get behind, you know, it's awesome.
Yeah, it is weird what goes viral, isn't it? It is weird. I had a lot of comments yesterday. I posted on Facebook. I was having so much trouble with my damn printer, and I hate printers. There's nothing that pisses me off worse than a printer because they never work. I posted that on Facebook, and I got so many comments because everybody hates printers. It's a universal thing. They never work. They just don't work. This whole Brian thing got me thinking. I read that article this morning you sent me, and it got me thinking what the names mean, right? So I looked up our names. I looked up all three of us, and this is what I found. Now we'll see how close we are here. Jamie is the 490th most popular girl name in the USA. By the way, it's the 180th most popular boy name, Jamie. So it's more popular in boys than girls. I'm going to guess it's the other way around, but yeah, I didn't know that. Anyway, so Jamie, this is what it means. You are fair, honest, and logical. You are a natural leader, and people respect you. You never give up, and you will succeed, even if it takes you 100 tries or 25 bids. No, I added that. You are rational enough to see every part of a problem. You are great at giving other people advice.
Allow me to retort.
that one nailed that.
So basically, it's saying I'm stubborn and I insert myself into people's lives, whether they like it or not. You know what?
That's
I'll go with
basically
that.
What it said. And boy, did they nail that on the end. That was perfect.
I'll go with that.
I read that and went, oh, my God, it's so true. Now, Jennifer is the 191st most popular name, girl name in the USA. I thought it would have been higher than that. I really did.
Things have changed so much. But when I was growing up and when Jennifer was growing up, I was actually named Jennifer until I was born. And my mom saw that, like, every girl in the little rooms were named Jennifer. So
Jennifer,
she changed
it was
to
very
Jamie.
Popular. It does. It goes in cycles like that, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, Jennifer is fair and honest and logical. She works hard not to rock the boat. Your easygoing attitude brings people together. You are very intuitive and wise. You understand the world better than most people. You are prone to a little paranoia, and you sometimes go overboard in interpreting signals. Well, Jennifer, what do you think?
I would say easily 30% of that, yeah, but I don't want to upset anybody, so.
I would say easily 70%. I'd give that 70% myself, but that's just a matter of opinion. Now, mine, Glenn, is the 1100th most popular boy name in the USA, because nobody names their kid Glenn anymore. You are friendly, charming, and warm. You get along with almost everyone. You work hard not to rock the boat. I got that one wrong. Your easygoing attitude brings people together. At times, you can be a little flaky and irresponsible, but for the important things, you pull it together.
Nailed it. I know
Except
you think
for...
you rock the boat, but you don't rock the boat. You're actually very fair and kind of balanced, and you don't want to, you know, that's why we do this radio show. We like to be light and not take on any crazy, you know, negative stuff. And I think that this totally is you. Totally.
I've served on a couple of boards with board members that would disagree with you. Just saying.
Again, Glenn, for the important things, you pull it together. But, yes, you're a little flaky and irresponsible.
I just thought, but I don't know what, then I lost the damn website I got this from because I wanted to actually post it because these were pretty accurate. I was surprised.
Yeah, I want to know where that came from because I want. We should post that on Facebook.
I'll try and find it in my history and see if I can come up with it.
That is so funny.
There
Nailed
is,
it.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good, actually. Hey, a couple other things. There was a poll on thehorse.com. You know how they do their polls all the time and then they put up the results? Well,
yes.
I wanted to, this is a good one, and we'll see where we all fit into this. The poll was on sweeping horse barn aisles. And the question was, how often do you sweep your horse barn aisle? Now, ours is kind of tough because it's sand. So we do have little parts you can sweep. But, you know, we've all had the barns with, you know, with the barn aisles that are concrete or something that you could, brick or something that you would have to clean up and sweep. So if you were asked this question, Jamie, how would you respond? Do you sweep your barn aisle once a day? Now, I know you're in a different situation out there, too. But make believe you had a barn.
I'll tell you. You know, we have our stalls are open and like kind of a mare motel kind of thing because you can't really have an enclosed barn here in Phoenix. But I have rubber mats in the horses' stalls to keep them from eating sand and dirt, and I sweep those twice a day.
Twice a day. Wow.
Yeah, because I sweep them before I put the hay on it or feed them their grain because all the hay drops down there and I would like, you know, there's some alfalfa leaves they really get aggressive for. And this only happened after I had to have the vet out because one of the horses had too much sand. Now, in the whole general area, it requires raking and I don't rake ever. And my husband does. He'll come out and be like, there's hay. I'll carry hay. And, you know, as you carry hay, most of it, you know, falls
drops.
Off the side,
drops.
And all that. And he will rake it, and he'll try to give it to the horses. I'm like, don't you give that to the horses. It's dirty. He's like, you waste so much hay by carrying it to the stall. Anyway, so I would say
it depends on your bale too. Right now we got bales in that have there's no flakes. It's just it all falls apart.
Oh,
And then there's some bales you get where the flakes stay together really nicely, right? But right now we just have to use a muck tub because it just literally will all fall apart by the time you get to the field or the stall. It's just going to be
Like back in the olden days, you actually need to use a pitchfork to get it and throw it into the stalls. Yeah.
That's the way this hay is right now. And it's so funny. It depends on how it's baled, I guess. This was the results to this. And there were 1,400 respondents to this survey. 27% said they sweep their barn aisles once a day. Well, that would seem normal to me, right? Once a day.
Yeah.
Now, Jennifer, you worked at a very fancy barn up there in Massachusetts. How often did you have to sweep the aisles?
In Massachusetts, it was every time a horse left a stall.
Yeah,
okay,
I worked at a place like that, too. Same thing. You took a horse
25.
Out, trailed.
That's it. That's the next one. 25% that swept each time it is used by a horse. That's just crazy. That's just crazy, you guys.
That is the least of the crazy at the place I worked. I mean, my God, folding blankets. And each horse wore four different blankets twice a day, and then you had to fold and make sure the little tabs are up and there's nothing dragging down.
Yeah,
that
the folding Nazis. The folding Nazis. Oh, my gosh.
Crazy.
Yes, sorry.
Well, that's time of year. I can understand if you'd be sweeping the barn aisle more just to do something because you can't take your horses out and actually do anything.
It does keep you warm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. It is
18% sweep their barn aisles as needed throughout the week. So we're getting a little less. 13% said they sweep their aisles after each feeding, and 2% said they sweep their aisles once a week. So I think either people were lying in the survey or people are keeping up with the aisles pretty well. I think that probably they're keeping up with the aisles. I know horse girls. Now,
I think
when
that's
the last
one of the OCD
you swept
things.
Your house?
Now,
I want that to be the next poll question that the horse does. When's the last time you yourself actually used the vacuum cleaner in the house?
Listen, my mother's coming today, and I've left plenty of things for her to keep herself busy, okay? No comment.
Only fair. Only fair. You want mom to feel useful.
She loves serving people, so I provided her. I've got at least 15 loads of laundry and a dirty floor. And there you go, Mom. Go crazy.
Doing the laundry isn't so bad. It really isn't. You just put it in the washer and then the dryer. The hard part's the folding part, you know. And if I often wondered why we fold. It's just Jennifer and I. Nobody would see it. Why do we still fold when we could just pour it in a pile? I don't know.
But why didn't you say so? No more folding. I didn't know. Yeah, seriously. You got the green light there, girl. Go for it.
Dang.
You could have brought this up about 20 years ago.
It's all free now. Just put it in the laundry basket. Forget having a dresser. Just stack laundry baskets.
Oh, we got rid of the dresser.
We gave up on the dresser. Yeah, we gave up the dresser long ago, and we got open shelving, so we just pile it in, you know. Because I did come to the realization years ago, why do we have dressers? You have to open the drawer when it could just be stacked on a shelf. So we went that route years ago because, again, nobody sees our bedroom. So why bother? But we did do that years ago.
I'm with you. I understand.
I got another piece of news here, and this you're heading to Nevada, and Nevada, I did not realize this, is one of only five states left that does not have an equine liability law. So basically, in Nevada, if somebody gets hurt on your property, even if they were not acting negligently, it's your problem.
If they were acting negligently,
Yes. Even if the person was acting negligently, it's your problem, it was on your property, and all of that. Well, they now have a bill in the Nevada legislature to change that and to get them up to date with all the other states. But, yeah, it's only one of five states. The other states are Alaska, California, believe it or not, Maryland, New York, and Nevada. So think about that. California, Maryland, and New York are three of the top horse states in the country. And yet they don't have an equine liability law. Do you have it in Arizona? We have to put a sign out, like out at the gate. We have a sign that says, you know, you're responsible walking through this gate because there's horses on the property. Do you have that?
Yeah, you have to put a sign up in Clearview. I've talked to a couple police officers. You have to put a sign up in Clearview, basically that one that you buy at the tax stores that say riding is horse activities are inherently dangerous, and basically you could die, and it's not my fault.
Right.
So, and that has to be in view, and so I put it actually in front of the hitching post and the cross ties, so they can see it. Now, the other thing I do just in case was I got some liability waivers. You know, they still have to sign that they could die.
Jennifer has breaking news for us. What is it?
We need the breaking news sound effect.
Yeah, I need that.
Okay. BBC News England is reporting that Brian the police horse has failed his police horse exam and is being sent back to England.
So Brian is a whip anyway.
Oh, no.
They should have renamed him Thor. He would have passed with flying colors. Ugh. Brian,
yes.
What a disappointment. You know, I've known Brians that have been kind of disappointing, so I get it.
All Brians, direct your emails to Glenn at horseradionetwork.com.
I said I've known some Brians that have been disappointing. You know, there's just some names that don't fit certain things, right? I mean, you know, you wouldn't
Well, you know what really sucked? Is that I always wanted to name my Mustang Thor, and now I'm like feel like y'all think I'm going to be copying this, and I've just told Chad weeks ago I wanted to name it Thor.
Who's the guy that plays Thor?
The hottest guy on the planet.
What's
the name is slipping me right now. I don't know.
Me too. Help Jennifer. What's his name?
Helmsworth.
Helmsworth.
Yeah. No, that's
you
his brother Liam.
Liam. Yeah. Liam's kind of a wimpy name for a horse, though.
Liam is his brother. He's the one in the Hunger Games. The Thor brother is Chris Helmsworth. But you can't name him
there
Chris.
Chris is like naming him Brian. You know, it's kind of the same thing.
Again, all Chris's, please direct your emails to Glenn at horseradionetwork.com.
I think it's time for a break, don't you?
I think so. Please, God, help us.
We'll be back with more news of Victoria showing up at the European Report from Horse in the Country TV as well. I don't think it's snowing as much over there.
Hi, this is Gina Moronic from Wisconsin, and I am an official Horse Radio Network auditor, something I'm really proud to do and to be a part of in a small way because it's something that I get a lot of information from the Horse Radio Network. And the convenience of the downloadable podcasts means that I can improve my horsemanship skills, my riding skills, or just really enjoy listening to friendly, informative programming whenever I'm driving to work or working on chores or at the barn even. So I hope you find it as enjoyable as I do. If you do, go to horseradionetwork.com and click on the banner to become a Horse Radio Network auditor. For as little as $1 a month, you can be involved in this great thing too and keep it going. Thanks.
Well, that was Templeton Thompson with Stillhouse Jane. I dedicate that to everybody in the North who would just like to drink the day away instead of shoveling another shovel full of snow. So that's what that song was all about. Templeton Thompson at templetonthompson.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I'm here with Jamie Jennings. And, of course, Coach Jen is in the producer chair. And we are brought to you by Bimita, the dewormer of choice. Look for them when you go to the store the next time. And I got to tell you that there was, let me pull up this story here. There's a couple of stories about new or about facilities, and the one is that JFK at JFK Airport in New York, they're building a $48 million equine air cargo facility. So this is a company called ARC Development, and they're calling it the ARC. And Racebrook Portfolio Company has signed a 30-year lease with the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey to create and manage the $48 million, 178,000-square-foot intelligent air cargo facility. It's set on 14 acres and will house the USDA-approved 24-hour airport quarantine area that will handle the import and export of horses, pets, birds, and livestock. The airport terminal is going to be set up in such a way that they'll be able to pull the planes up right to the terminal and load the horses without driving them long distances on the tarmac like they've had to do in the past. It's going to have a 24-hour veterinary hospital. It's going to have a lounge and bar for the grooms that have to hang out and wait so they can get loaded before they have to get on the plane. And then it's just going to be a cool facility. I saw the plans for it, and it really is state-of-the-art. It's going to be a great holding facility for when you have to take your horses overseas, and they're heading out through JFK.
It's super fancy looking. It looks awesome.
Yeah, and, that's something that the professional riders have to, and grooms have to deal with all the time. So having a nice facility to do that, I don't think the one right now is too nice. So it's going to be nice to have that and have an easy loading of the horses on the planes as well.
Right.
Not something that I think I'll ever have to worry about. But you might someday, you international eventer, you. With
sure.
With your Mustang, with Sheldon the Mustang.
Yeah. I was going to ask, too, is it okay to change the name of a Mustang when you get it? Because I cannot have a horse named Sheldon named after, I'll think of the Big Bang guy constantly.
No, you cannot change the name of the horse because forever I will be able to say, Sheldon from Big Bang. That Jamie named her horse after the Big Bang Theory because she loves the show so much. I have to use that forever.
And now you have sealed his fate. Hey, I was looking at this link that you had. You put up a link of U.S. presidents and their pets.
Did you look at that? Interesting.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. So it's a link on classroomhelp.com, and it's the pets that presidents have had in the past. And what I realize is how many people give presidents, that's a lot of P's, give presidents pets, but not appropriate pets. Thomas Jefferson, Lewis and Clark gave Thomas Jefferson two bears. Where did he keep them? On the White House lawn. He didn't need security. Nobody was going to jump the fence. They should do that now.
Yeah.
I agree. I think there should be bears on the White House lawn.
It's like, oh, somebody was trying to crash a party, but he got eaten by the bear. Or, oh, they were trying to get in the ISIS, tried to breach the lawn, and they were eaten by bears. I think it's a genius idea. John Quincy Adams was given an alligator that lived in the White House for months. An alligator.
Ew! Alligators, like, stink!
How do you call it? Kitty. I don't understand. I don't understand how it works.
And then he needed a new pair of boots. And that was the
end. alligator. Yeah.
All right. James Buchanan was given elephants. Somebody sent him elephants, which he then in turn gave to the zoo. They did not live on the White House lawn. Abraham Lincoln, he pardoned a turkey at Thanksgiving, and so he gave that turkey to his children. Andrew Johnson had two Jersey cows that he kept on the White House lawn. It would never happen now. Never.
No, never. No. Oh, well, milking cows. I could see Mrs. Obama doing that. She's all into the healthy thing. I could see her out there milking the cows in the morning. Can you?
No, because no. She dresses too nice. She would have people milk the cows.
That's right.
You would never,
the
ever.
The chef would come out in his top hat to milk the cows in the morning. But then it's not pasteurized, so they wouldn't. We got to throw the cows out. Can't keep the cows. Yeah. You missed one. I think that the president that had the best dogs was John Tyler, because he had a greyhound named LeBeau and two Italian wolfhounds. Yeah,
aww.
So I think he was the best president. And you missed one, too. I think it was interesting that not only did Thomas Jefferson have two grizzly bears, he had a mockingbird named Dick. Now.
Oh, it's a mockingjay. It's a mockingjay.
Yeah, so close enough. But who names their mockingbird Dick? Because if you say the bird's name enough, he's going to start saying it, right? Maybe that's why Thomas Jefferson, every time somebody came in for a meeting he didn't like, he would get all Dick just talking away.
That's just Dick being Dick.
I'm a Dick.
There's a side note. Andrew Jackson had a parrot, and he took the parrot to his funeral, and it cursed at his funeral. Oh, my gosh. Martin Van Buren was given two tiger cubs while he was president. We got to post this link. This is just
I wonder if they kept them in the White House, too. I don't know. I don't know if they kept them in the White House either. But there's been a lot of dogs. You know, I think almost every president's had dogs, right? But goats, rabbits, hamsters. John Kennedy had a zoo. Because of his kids, he had a zoo out there. He had a cat, a rabbit, ponies, hamsters, birds, and dogs. And then, of course, everybody knows that his kids got a pony named Macaroni. So he had a whole zoo at the White House there.
A lot of them had goats. I'm interested to see. Theodore Roosevelt had a snake and a badger. Why did he have a badger?
Ooh, well, Theodore Roosevelt was known for his wilderness exploring, right? So I could see the badger. I could see that. Yeah.
All right.
And again, when he got cold, that was the end of the badger.
Calvin Coolidge had a raccoon. This can't be true. All of this is real.
There's some wild stuff there. Well, we also, speaking of presidents, there's a farm for sale if you want it. Jackie Kennedy's equestrian estate is on the market that was in Virginia. She wanted to buy it in 1963, and she begged and begged and begged and borrowed enough money to actually buy this property. And unfortunately, they only stayed in it for 3 weekends before President Kennedy was assassinated.
Oh, gosh.
So they got to stay in the farm. It's an equestrian estate. They got to stay in it for 3 weekends, and then he was assassinated. She went back there after the next president took over Johnson. And after Johnson took over, she went back there and actually lived there for a while, but after a year, sold it. Interesting. She sold it, but Ronald and Nancy Reagan actually leased the property to prepare for debates against President Jimmy Carter before he took office in 1980. They had leased the property for debates. Originally it was 39 acres. It's 167 acres. It's for sale again. It's in the Blue Ridge Mountains. It has a stucco home, 4 bedrooms, 4 baths, multiple fireplaces, his and her dressing rooms, built-in bookcases and cabinets. And its equestrian facility is apparently quite expensive, and it's within riding trails and a full stable with water and electricity, pool, tennis court, all of that stuff. So you can own President Kennedy's old estate in Virginia. It's a mere, well, let me see here. It was for sale. I have it here. It was for sale for $11 million, but they've dropped the price to $8 million. So it's a bargain right now.
It's a steal.
We'll take two.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a steal. And you know what? Compared to most of the properties in England over there with all the mansions and stuff, it's cheap. You can get yourself a little country estate. And Victoria's going to be here very shortly. Oh, no.
Okay. Yeah. I have a child that is having a meltdown and has pooped his pants, as I can smell as he walked in the room.
Oh, no.
So,
what? People have kids.
You know what? Let me just tell you what happens with people with kids. Like, during this song, I ran out and I'm like, okay, let me get him comfortable. I turned on his favorite TV show and I poured a bunch of Cheerios in a bowl. As I'm walking away, he takes the Cheerios and throws the bowl into the air. And now I have about a billion Cheerios buried in my white carpet. So that's something I get to take care of. Come here, puppy.
And mom is coming today.
Have some exactly. Oh, see, I can just leave it. I'll just leave it. She'll get it.
I'll talk to Victoria. You go take care of that situation.
Okay.
Now it's time for the European Report with Horse and Country TV.
Victoria, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Hey, if you ever have a thought or a premonition or even the tiniest little thing creeps into your brain that you want to have a child, just listen to our show.
I just caught Jamie explaining that she was picking cereal out of the carpet. That doesn't sound fun.
Yes. Yeah, so the kid, you know, we watch America's Funniest Home Videos, and every time we watch it, it reminds us not to have children. So it just... Every single
want,
time.
It's good, because if you want something time-consuming and expensive takes over your life, you've got horses. So,
that's right. Who needs kids? Well, Victoria, it's an exciting day, and we have a lot of Australia listeners. It's now our Australia, New Zealand is now our second largest listening audience, above Canada even. And you have exciting news about Australia.
We do. We've launched in Australia this week, which is really, really exciting. So we're available on Fetch TV, and they get basically the same as our UK channel, and then we're going to start producing local content shows. So very excited by it. We've had a little bit of a run of Australian stars on the channel in preparation. So we've had like a masterclass of Boyd Excel, the carriage driver, and Gareth Hughes, the dressage rider, and Sam Griffith, who of course won badminton last year. So we've got lots of Aussies over here, and I think the Australian audience are really going to love the channel.
We're jealous. When is it coming to the United States?
We keep planning, so watch this space. So hopefully.
I know, it's a little more difficult. It's a little more crowded over here, too.
Yeah. Well, you know something? I actually went on our local cable company's website to try and say, hey, you need to get Horse and Country TV. There's not a place to do that. That could be why we're not getting it, is because there's nowhere to ask.
Oh, go on.
They don't want to know.
Facebook page or tweet them and say, we want Horse and Country. Because we say that in the UK as well, because, we're on Sky, the television hosts, and if you have a satellite provider, you know, people get quite angry at us that we're not on there. And we have to say, you know, it's not our decision. So you have to go to them and say, look, we want to watch Horse and Country. And if enough people do it, they'll listen.
So go to the complaints department, because they have one of those. Go to the complaints department on the website and send one in, because they have that.
Yeah.
Well, we would love to get you over here. I'm very excited for all the Australians who get to have your programming over there. Boyd Excel, I don't know if you've ever met him in person, but he's a super nice guy and a hell of a horseman.
Yeah, he's great. And we've had lots of him on the channel recently with the masterclass and his yard talk. And we're posting various clips from it. So if you check the video section of our website, there's quite a few in there. And it's him kind of teaching some of the basics carriage driving. So if you want to learn from the best in the world, it's quite a good place to go.
And you also have, which is kind of fun, because we do the radio horsemanship radio show, which is Monty Roberts' daughter. And so we, you know, do their version of radio. And you have, for the Australians over there, you have Monty Roberts on his Australian tour, which he does once a year. He loves spending time in Australia. So that's kind of fun that you have that TV show.
Yeah, definitely. He's definitely doing a tour, and we do a lot with Monty, and he's on the show already. So I'm not entirely sure if we're broadcasting from the Australian tour or if it's just part of what we're doing with him. But, yeah, he's heading to Australia, and it could be the last time you ever get to see Monty on tour, because he's getting a bit older. And it does kind of say on his website, go and see him this year, because you never know if he's going to make the journey across there again.
He's almost 80, and he hasn't slowed down at all.
If he's you've still ever met him in person,
if you've ever met him in person or talked to him for any length of time, like I have, you feel inadequate when you're done, and you feel lazy. So,
indeed, and I'm not suggesting, of course, that it is time for him to retire. But I just did read that on the website, and I thought, well, Australia is a long way to go, so maybe he's said, you know, I'm going there this year, but this might be the last time I go. So
yeah,
it has come from him or his team at least.
What's the clone? You know, we've talked about clones here before in the show. We've done specials on cloning, and everybody has their own opinion on cloning. But you guys did an article. You did an article on it, right?
I did. And it's been a huge story over here because Cruising the Stallion is a very well-known sports horse. He's the sire of a number of top show jumpers and eventers, and including Mr. Medicott, who's your top eventer over there. And He's got loads of offspring, and he carried on covering mares until his late 20s, and he died last year at the age of 29. And his owners have had him cloned secretly, so the clones are now 2.5 years old, and they're about to start stud duties. And it is quite surprising because, you know, you hear about horses like Tamarillo, who's William Fox Pitt's top eventer, and he was gelded before they realized how great he was, and they wanted to get those genes. So with him, you couldn't kind of understand it. I have to say with this story, I'm a little bit like, surely he has so many offspring and we do get to see his bloodlines that, you know, people could go to his sons to if they want the Cruising bloodlines in their.
Well, and I think that's partly why why they haven't allowed it in racing. I mean, I don't know where I'll ever see it in thoroughbred racing, but what they have shown too, because we've been cloning over here the quarter horses, especially for quite a while, is that, you know, none of them have turned out to be superstars. None of them have really turned out to be special. So, you know, it's that old nature versus nurture thing, right? I mean, you have the bloodlines there, but the horse still has to have heart and still has to, you know, still has to perform.
I think so much of it is it's situational, you know, like how they're raised and how they're grown up and how they're trained, and so much of it is that. I think it's creepy. I just think it's weird.
I have to say I do agree to an extent. And, you know, I'm relieved that they're not going to be allowed in top class competition. I think if I understand the rules correctly, it's just in terms of allowing them to be able to replicate the genes and pass on these genes. Because I find the idea of clones competing it just kind of goes against everything. And, you know, as you say, in racing, not only is cloning completely off the agenda, but they don't even allow artificial insemination, and
right.
It's so traditional. And, you know, I love the whole mystery of breeding, and find it fascinating waiting to see if Frankel's foals are going to be anywhere near as good as he was. And you just don't know. There's a famous example over here of a racehorse called Brown Panther, who's won 10 quite major races. And his breeder is a top soccer player over here, or his owner, and he'd owned the broodmare, and he'd put this broodmare to two really good stallions, and they'd produced kind of real bang average foals. And so they decided that the mare obviously wasn't going to be that great, and they put her to a second rate stallion, and they produced Brown Panther, who's been amazing. So I find that whole aspect fascinating, that, you know, you never know what you're going to get, and the next Frankel or the next superstar could be around the corner.
Right. Well, that's the magic of it. If you can have an equation for it, you'll make $1 billion.
Exactly. But the sport would become much more boring, so we will see. But it's really cool to check out the picture on our website, because we had one reader saying, oh, how can those be clones when they're dark and he's white? And of course, Cruising did start off in that kind of dark, steely grey colour and get progressively whiter as he got older. But somebody else pointed out that, you know, one of the there are yearlings at the time the picture was taken, but one of them has a much wider blaze on his face than the other one does. And they said, how is this possible? And I thought, you know, this is interesting. And one of our other readers said that all that cloning means is that they will have a white splodge somewhere, and it could be on their face, or it could be somewhere else, or it could be a sock. So it won't be an exact mirror image lookalikes. I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, and I don't think they ever expected it. I mean, from the beginning, that, you know, looking exactly alike was never in the cards. That's not something they expected to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we think of them, we think they're going to end up like identical twins, right?
Yeah.
But they don't. No, that's not part of what happens. Huh, interesting. And, you know, I don't know that this is going to be a topic. Is a big court case over here that we've reported on many times. It's still in the courts. It's it's going to end up at the Supreme Court, I think. And, you know, it's all about whether they can use clones in the AQHA and the quarter horse world. So there's a couple of farmers who have been cloning who really want to get it in. And the AQHA has been fighting it, and it's been in the courts over here forever. So a lot of money has been spent on that case. A lot more than the clones are probably worth.
Well, yeah. I mean, even to do the cloning, apparently each clone costs 100,000 euros. So, you know, you're talking about huge sums of money. So, you can see why people are keen to do something with these clones. But I think they should be kept out of the sport for now, that's for sure.
Well, now we had some sad news, too. We haven't talked about this on the show in the world of eventing that happened last weekend.
Yeah, really sad. A Portuguese rider who was just 30 years old was sadly killed in a cross-country fall. The eventing season hasn't started in Britain yet, but we have a Portuguese tour and a Spanish tour where you can go and take your horses and compete in a series of events in the early spring, and it just kind of, you know, gets your horse a chance to compete outside of the season. And this poor man was killed in a fall at the water fence, and it was just really sad. And he was part of the Portuguese team at the World Equestrian Games last summer, and his brother's an event rider as well. So just a real tragedy for the family and for the sport.
I know he was good friends with Joe Meyer, who hosts once a month on our eventing radio show. And I know Joe was pretty shook up about it. He lives not too far from me here in Ocala. So well, our best to their family and to everybody from Portugal and the team over there. It's certainly something that we all hate to hear.
Absolutely.
Now, speaking of eventing, your video of the month, or week, rather.
Yes, now we've been having an exclusive glimpse into Andrew Nicholson, the master of eventing. You know, he's superhuman, I think, between him and Michael Jung. I'm not sure if they're actually human. They're more godlike. And yes, he's been doing a series of masterclasses, and we've got one up on the website that is about seeing a stride. So if you've ever struggled with this, watch this video, and Andrew Nicholson will make it obvious and easy, and it's really useful.
And, of course, you can find all of that at horseandcountry.tv. And now in Australia, you can watch it as well. Do you know what channel it's on over there?
It's available through Fetch TV, and I'm afraid beyond that it's getting too technical. So we have a new Australian website, which is horseandcountrytv.com.au. So that has all the details of how you can watch.
Okay, very good. And I do have a question for you. You like coming to the United States. You visited a couple times. Why is it that you're not visiting when we have 100 inches of snow on the ground? I'm just curious.
That is tempting. Now, I have to say my brother is a car racer. He does drift racing and lives in Japan. And he's come out to the States this year, and he's hoping to go and do the drift racing tour there, and he's going all around America. So he suggested that we might want to come out and visit him. So maybe another U.S. trip isn't off the agenda for this year.
Well, drift racing, there's something you don't hear about too often. That really started in Japan, didn't it?
Yeah, and he lives over there, him and his Scottish wife, and she's tiny and blonde, and she does drift racing as well. So much to the confusion of everybody over there, because you're not used to seeing blonde ladies driving very big sports cars. So, yes, they're quite well known on the drift circuit.
That's incredible. You have an interesting family.
A sporty family. So, yes.
There's something I didn't think we'd talk about this morning, drift racing. Well, Victoria, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. Horse and Country TV, talk to you next week.
Speak to you soon. Have a great week.
You know, to be honest, other than the Fast and Furious movies, I didn't even know that was a thing, drift racing.
I don't even know what drift racing is. I'm Googling it right now. I didn't want to sound stupid.
Well, it's where they drift. You know, where they take the corners and the whole car goes sideways, and it's kind of cool to watch. You can YouTube it and look up drift racing, and you'll see. They spend
it's
most of the time driving
wreck,
sideways.
Try to wreck, but not quite racing.
Exactly.
But not quite. That's the goal.
Not quite. Yeah, wrecking the whole way is not good. We had a lot of response this morning, speaking of weather, and on our Facebook page, Jennifer did a post earlier in the day, and a lot of people responded to it. And the lowest low that I saw was for somebody from Michigan, Alex, from Michigan, minus 31 yesterday morning. Today they're having a heat wave of 5.
You know what? At least it's 5 degrees and it's not negative 31. So when you're packing your things into that moving van, it's a little more comfortable.
We're wondering if the sales of houses in Phoenix and Florida are going to go way up in April. If we're going to see every house that's for sale in Florida sold in April.
I don't know, dude. It got really cold here last night. I had to put the sheet on my clipped horse. It got down to 50. Okay. It was freezing.
We are expecting it to be in the 20s tomorrow night, 25 degrees here to go. So, yeah. So I have 2 sheets on my clipped pony. So, yeah. Scooter's wondering about the sheet thing, too. He doesn't quite get all that. And he's like, well, why? I think he doesn't consider it manly enough, especially seeing the rain sheet he has little, it's blue with little white snowflakes all over it. He doesn't quite think that's manly enough. So Scooter's having a little bit of an issue. He's embarrassed. Well, if you want to call it a day, you're going to be heading out to get your mom from the airport and then packing her and the kid and everything else up to go fetch a Mustang. Are you allowed to give them, like, Ace or anything when you get them on the trailer?
I don't think I can get a needle in these guys, okay? So I'm not going to start out my relationship with them by poking them with a needle. I need
a little kava in their food. Maybe that would work.
Yeah, there you go. That's what I need. And actually, we were talking a lot about Sheldon, but I must tell you that there are 3 or 4 others that I've really got my eye on. So if I come home with a different one, you can't be surprised. And I'm not doing it just because of the name.
I know that you've been talking with Elisa, who has obviously had more experience with Mustangs than any of us has. And Elisa, is she voting for certain ones?
She liked Sheldon as an event horse and also the little paint one. But when I called them, I said, does any particular horse go for a higher amount than other ones? And he started laughing. He's like, I've seen super well-broke, very well-built bay horses go for nothing, and then a really out-of-control paint horse or Palomino go for thousands of dollars. So I'm thinking that the little paint horse is probably going to sell for the most, but it doesn't seem to have...
I didn't think he was all that cute, the little paint horse. It's kind of funny looking.
He kind of looks Spanish-y, and I liked him at first, and so that's her second favorite. But, you know, watching that horse, and you can go on and watch the videos on YouTube. You can find them if you search NNCC on YouTube or BLM Nevada. You can go on and look. And the horse named Freight Train, he ran away with his rider, and the trot was fabulous. So
that's an event horse.
He's got potential.
Right there.
It's sort of like really bad ads. He has a beautiful trot when he bolts.
Exactly.
Sort of like really bad.
I'm like, ooh, he ran away really pretty. So it is like really bad ads. You're right. I'm like reading it like a bad ad. I'm watching these. So it'll be good. It'll be fun.
Think about that,
and
too, as they're talking to you on as you're looking at these things in the morning. Think really bad ads, because that's what it's going to be. Oh, it's wonderful. This is the best horse out here.
Well, from what I understand, it's a competition between these guys, an unspoken competition to see whose horses go for the most money. And the officer actually told me on the phone, he was like, listen, they have to be honest with you about soundness issues, but they ain't got to be honest with you about anything else. So he goes, read between the lines, okay? And I'm like, oh, I'm good at that. I do that all the time.
That's for a living.
Who knew?
Who knew bad ads would be so handy in the future?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Relevant.
Who knew? Who knew? I love it. It's going to be exciting.
Speaking of which, get your really bad ads into Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Dr. Wendy Yang from the Driving Radio Show is filling in, and she loves doing really bad ads day. So she's filling in for Jamie on Friday morning, and we will be doing really bad ads and have great prizes. And, of course, it's brought to you by EquityMFG.com, the best manure forks in the world. And, we've got this week and next week. Anybody that submits an ad gets put in the drawing at the end of the month to win a flex and fork from EquityMFG.com. So get your ads in today. Well, good luck, Jamie. We're all going to be anxious to hear how it goes and keep us informed. Take pictures along the way.
Thank you. And am I a bad mother because I'm taking my son to a prison? Whatever.
They have to learn sometime. You know that old show, Scared Straight? Well, you're just starting a little young, that's all.
I'm starting early. Is it bad that my child right now has a marker? They're washable, right? So a Crayola marker, and he's eating it, and so his mouth is now brown. Yeah.
It's probably worse than taking
it. I'm the worst mom. Y'all, I gotta go. It's Vayner to go. I'll talk to y'all Monday. I'll keep you posted. I'm so excited.